All right, in the spirit of football, I'm calling an audible right now. Dylan, first of all, well done. Second, the rest of the show, all of the music coming back from break is going to be the NFL films. Different music. Deal?
Hear, hear. I agree. I'm sorry that I took too long to do it already.
You're fine. Just learn from it. Let's learn from our mistakes.
Get better.
You know, just as long as you never do it again. Like, literally ever do it again. All you right. Can't repeat the same mistake.
I'll staple it to my forehead here.
Thank you very much. It's like Kent Swanson. He's made mistakes, but not the same one
Doesn't
twice.
Doesn't repeat them, yes.
No, not at all.
Coachable.
Yeah, he skipped Costco one time. Last time he's ever done that. The man is coachable.
I don't even believe that.
That's probably true. Kent Swanson is our guest. KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. Kent, welcome into the show. How are you, sir?
First off, never doubt my Costco consistency.
I know.
I didn't.
Second off, walking into that music was just a delight. So, that was why. Can we do that whenever I come on the show, please?
Yes.
I'd sign up for it.
That's the Kent Swanson new intro music. Let's go ahead and label that for Kent Swanson just so people know.
It's the right mood. It's just the right mood to enter a conversation about football.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and I actually play this song as I'm getting ready to enter Costco. So it's the same thing. I'm getting ready to take on this challenge. Here we go. My team is taking the field right now. Let's go, honey. Kids, over there. Everett, that way. Jules, you're heading over to the fruit. Honey, you're going and grabbing that. I'm going to the outdoors. Me back in 10 minutes. Go!
All that in John Facenda's voice. Then you got it.
Yes. I can't even do it. I don't even want to try because Curtis does such a great job. I would just embarrass myself trying to even attempt to do the John Facenda breaking up and splitting up our responsibilities at Costco.
I just learned he does a John Facenda impression, so I will have to.
Oh, he does a great one.
I'm going to have to hear that now.
He does a great one. Turns out, Curtis, good impressions, especially with guys with deep voices. It's a surprise.
I can see that, yes.
It's a surprise. I know that. All right, Ken, I know how I'm feeling. That got me in the mood. I think you gave us a little bit of an idea, though. But how you feeling is we're getting closer and closer, you know, about, 8 hours away from this thing starting to get rolling. And I don't know, about 12 hours away from maybe when the Chiefs select somebody.
Only 12. I'm getting there. I'm getting excited, you know, just starting to flow a little bit. Obviously, like, this is a... You know, if you cover the draft intensely like we do at KC Sports Network, this is obviously a big week. I'm going to be doing live shows the entirety of the draft. We're going to be on live for every single pick. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, anxiousness, excitement, but also, like, I know we're about to do 16 hours of live shows. So I think there's both nervousness, excitement, and also, like, I know what's coming, too. So I'm trying to keep the energy down as best I can.
Yeah, and I appreciate you wasting about 20, 25 minutes of your energy, your voice, your brain power, all of the neurons that can be firing that you'll definitely need later on today. I appreciate you doing that with us here because I know what's ahead of you with the draft and everything. And constantly the thing about the draft and why, you know, I love sitting back and watching it, and I don't envy those that are doing live shows like yourself, like right here on Sports Radio 810 with Seren and Curtis and Mark Boerichter, which, by the way, Seren and Curtis starting at 2 o'clock, and they'll get done at, like, midnight. I don't envy that at all. so they do fantastic work, and on the pregame show as well, because there's so much to follow on Twitter and everything. There's so many different moving parts constantly, and, well, this may happen or that may happen. And also, Kent, like, you know, Dylan and I were talking about it, that oftentimes there's so much that's released on Twitter that sometimes we'll be told what the pick is at pick number 6 and number 4 still on the clock.
Yeah, and it turns into a little bit of chaos. We wind up just we tip picks when we do our stuff. We just kind of let it roll because it's hard to keep track of exactly everything. But it's a lot, man. I think, you know, if you're a fan of a team, there's also all those emotions that continue to build around it too. So it's like, there's just, you know, it's tough to navigate.
Yeah. Visiting with Kent Swanson, KC Sports Network, kcsn.substack.com. What do you want to see them do tonight? Where is in, like, do they trade up, trade back? If you're, you know, feeling right now, do you have a scenario that you would prefer out of trading up, trading back, picking at that particular spot at 32?
I think the one I like the most is just sitting at pick 32 and drafting Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia.
I wouldn't hate that.
I think I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the chaos that I feel like is about to ensue, and you see a lot of the conversations going around. You know, the trade ups for the tackles. A lot of people anticipate there's going to be a lot of tackles flying off the board early. We think, you know, if that's the case, that's going to be really difficult for the Chiefs to trade up to get one. So trading back, you're probably not going to be able to secure a tackle either. That doesn't seem great. You know, I don't know if there's going to be a ton of great tackle options available for them in round two either. So I'd rather just go take a solid double and get a super reliable player that I know is going to be a good NFL player and could potentially be a 1,000-yard receiver with Patrick Mahomes throwing in the football and Ladd McConkey. I think he helps provide a lot of reliability and consistency for this team that could be really beneficial to them in this offense. Just another security blanket, especially as Travis Kelce ages. I would love to see Ladd McConkey be the pick at 32 for the Chiefs.
If you know, it's an interesting way of describing it and saying a solid double, because another way of viewing it would be them trading up and pushing their chips in and drafting somebody in the middle, you know, teens, and getting a tackle or something like that. That would be going for the home run. If you're looking at this team, and every scenario is going to be different, but you know, I've wavered. On Tuesday, I was pretty strong in my conviction of there's nobody in this draft that I feel like is valuable enough to move up to, like, pick 15 or 16. Then doing the math and looking at the draft picks and who may be there, because we went through that exercise yesterday, and I'm going to tell you the different trade scenarios that we had yesterday and, you know, who was on the clock and everything. But if you're looking at this team, is it the sound strategy moving forward of just as long as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are there, that solid doubles – you know, as opposed to strikeout or home run, that, and I'm talking first round only, because solid doubles in the fourth or fifth round is badass. Yes, keep doing that. But in the first round, just, you know what, we're getting a solid double here that we know we're going to get 4/5 years. Maybe gets a second contract, maybe not. But, you know, we know he's going to be a contributor for 4 years and not a liability.
I think that's largely an approach that they've tried to take, right? And even I try to extend that to the second round, because Brett Veach hasn't had a ton of first round picks to make in the first place.
True.
You know, but they've done a really good job of, you know, they don't care about positional value all the time when they're making their picks in the second round, and it's rewarded them because they've hit really sound, solid players at center, at linebacker in the second round, safety. They've done a good job. It doesn't matter what the positional value is. Let's just go continue to stack quality players on this roster. And I can hear that argument, and I like that argument of just continuing to build solid players around Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't mean I'm all the way out on a trade-up necessarily either, though, because the Chiefs have a little bit of extra draft capital at their disposal because of the LeJarius Sneed trade. Mm-hmm. So they have some future capital that they might be able to dip into. Like, if you told me the Chiefs wanted to get a little weird today, throw their first-round pick into the mix from 2025 in an attempt to move up, you still got, you know, I think the argument we'll hear when Brett Veach talks about it afterwards would be, hey, look, we've still got 3 picks in the top 100 next year and hope the Titans suck, right? So I think, you know, I still think that there's, you know, there's enough capital there that they might be able to do something just a little bit, little spicy. And if they want to just, you know, finally set and forget the left tackle position, which they've been scrambling, it feels like, the last 3-4 years to try to address, since Eric Fisher, you know, tore his Achilles, they haven't really recovered from that. And, you know, they've kind of had to be aggressive for Orlando Brown and maybe overpay for him a little bit. And then they, you know, they tried to, you know, they wanted to tackle. They wound up getting, you know, Donovan Smith. So if they go and just say, hey, look, you know, we're about to have some changes on the offensive line here in the next couple of years, let's just go up and secure, you know, the left side of Patrick Mahomes for the foreseeable future, I'm going to understand why they did that.
Visiting with Kent Swanson, kcsn.substack.com. Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I was going to go next. So what we did yesterday, we did it live on the air. We had a blast doing it. I don't know if anybody else did, but I know Sterling and I and Dylan, we were having fun doing this. So what we did is, so we did the mock draft simulator at PFF, and I chose pick number 16 because 15 is the Colts, and I don't know that the Colts are willing or wanting to move all the way back to 32 when they feel like, they've got a team, and with a healthy Anthony Richardson, they can go and win the division. So do they want to draft somebody else at 15 that can go and be a difference maker for them, especially if there's like one of those three wide receivers for whatever reason might still be there? So I chose pick 16 because that being the Seahawks, and they do seem like a team that might be looking to acquire picks if no quarterback. So at pick 16, this was the scenario that was presented to us. And this was the trade that was accepted when we did this. Pick 16, we gave up pick 32, obviously. But then this year's third, L'Jarius Sneed's third, and a fifth rounder this year to go get Olu Fashanu, who was still there. Dylan and I both said yes to that. And that's where I'm saying, like, I wavered, because on Tuesday I'm like, I don't know that there's somebody available or really as valuable in this draft when you've got Patrick Mahomes to go and take three other guys that wouldn't be on your team to move up and take that guy. But that's also not really thinking Fashanu would be there. Is that something you'd be in favor of when they'd still have five more picks in the draft this year? They'd have a second, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh. They'd still have those five more picks to go. Would that be something? You lose a third rounder this year, L'Jarius needs third rounder and a fifth rounder, but you get what I believe is the second best tackle in the NFL draft.
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
That is a super easy yes move for me right there. Like that's a fantastic trade, I think, you know, from a capital perspective. I actually would anticipate it costs a little bit more.
I would too.
When we get down to draft day.
I would too.
The draft math might say, you know, you need to give a little bit more to do that. So if you're going to give me that scenario, I'd do that. And honestly, like, if you tie a specific player to it, that makes it even easier for me. And when it's Olu Fashanu, who is an exceptional plug-and-play, excellent pass protector from day one, I love the idea of that, you know, as far as, like, that's not a scenario I'm going to be upset with if that happens mm-hmm. tonight. And, hey, look, you know, then we get to talk about a pick in 9 hours instead of 11. So that's even better.
The next scenario that was presented to us, so if we turned that down and just let the draft go, at pick number 22, the Eagles were on the clock, and Brian Thomas was still there. So A.D. Mitchell went before him. Brian Thomas was still there. It would cost, according to the trade that eventually was accepted by the Eagles, was the third rounder for Sneed and a fifth rounder this year to move up to 22 to specifically get Brian Thomas. Like, we were looking at players connected with the picks because that, you know, it's like, would you trade up to 22? Well, who's there? Well, I don't know. Just would you do that? Well, I don't know who's there, so no. But is Brian Thomas maybe worth it when still on the board was, you know, Guyton and Kingsley and Ladd McConkey and Xavier Worthy, and there were a number of other picks. Would it be worth it to keep that third rounder in the pocket of next year so then maybe you'd still have an arsenal in the second round to go and move around? Or is Brian Thomas worth it to you if that was available to them to move up 10 spots and grab him?
I think I'd do that. Okay. I know I'm sitting here saying, oh, I'll just sit here and take Ladd McConkey, but
these scenarios are different. Like,
yeah, well, the scenarios that you give me, like, yeah. I like them. You know, I like what you're throwing down here. And, like, I don't think the capital is just too exorbitant to say, like, I wouldn't move out of it, right? So, when you tie a specific player like a Brian Thomas Jr., you know, there's some talk that maybe the medicals might see him drop just a little bit. And if that's the case, and if the Chiefs feel comfortable with the medicals, 22 is a very enticing range for a player that, you know, like, sometimes we just need to not overthink it. He had 17 touchdowns in the SEC last year.
Yeah.
And maybe he isn't on the same tier as that top three, but there's a lot to like about him. Mm-hmm. And I'd be in on a scenario like that as well.
Next scenario for you was pick number 27. So Brian Thomas went 22nd. So we then declined the trade, and Brian Thomas was immediately picked by the Eagles. So maybe they wouldn't want the trade anyway if they felt like, wow, I can't believe Brian Thomas is here. And by the way, Fashanu went 16th when we turned that down too. So it was like that was sort of the floor for those guys, right? At pick 27, right in front of the Buffalo Bills, so that adds a little tinge of, like, you know, excitement there. But right in front of the Buffalo Bills, A.D. Mitchell was still on the board, and it would take next year's third rounder, L'Jarius Sneed, but we got a fourth back this year. So we moved up five spots, and we turned next year's third rounder into a fourth rounder this year, and we jumped ahead of the Bills and got A.D. Mitchell. Are you okay with that, or is he worth it moving up five spots and maybe staying there and keeping next year's third to then move around in the second round and taking a Ladd McConkey, who was there at 32 when we turned this trade down?
So when it comes to A.D. Mitchell specifically, we're attaching specific players. I don't love A.D. Mitchell as much as I like some of the other guys that we've talked about at this point.
Cool.
And I am at least nervous enough about some of the off-field stuff. And this was before the Bob McGinn, the Bob McGinn article comes out about the diabetes stuff, which, you know, like we can talk about some of that at some point. But I worry a little bit about the off-field. I worry a little bit about the effort. I worry a little bit about how two coaching staff perceived him in his time in college football. You know, the tape's tantalizing. He's got the talent to be one of the best receivers in this draft class. It's just a matter of consistency. It's a matter of consistent effort. And you got to have some questions about whether or not he's going to be as consistent off the field. So, you know, if the Chiefs do it, like, I'll get it because of the swing on talent, but they've also probably done a lot of work to vet him and make sure that they feel comfortable with him as a person, because this wide receiver room isn't exactly the most stable thing from a character perspective anyway when it comes to the Kadarius Toney situations and it comes to what we're experiencing with Rashee Rice. So it's a very bold swing to take a guy like that.
Yeah. Kent Swanson is our guest, kcsn.substack.com. What we ended up doing was saying our two favorite scenarios ended up being staying at 32 or trading up for Fashanu. With the cost acquisition, so myself and Sterling and Dylan sort of went that route. Sterling said no to Fashanu because he hates players that are good. So that was an interesting. He just said the price was too much. He wanted more of the dart throws, which I get. I understand if your strategy is, and I'm typically a trade back guy, but that's also part of me thinking that Fashanu should not be there at 16, and he's going to be snatched up pretty quickly by somebody. But interesting enough, we all three agreed at 32. We ended up going tackle, all three of us. Sterling went Tyler Guyton, and then Dylan and I went Kingsley Suamataia. That was there. You would go Ladd McConkey in that scenario. As we look at like what sort of packaging two players together, Brett Veach said the tackles sort of 35 to 40. After that, there's a pretty steep drop off at 35 to 40, whereas wide receivers top 50, but then there's another pocket of wide receivers that you know, sort of a grade. Is it more advantageous to take what would be a higher level tackle and then still get a good enough receiver in the second round, or a higher level receiver and then tackle would be way more of a project at that point, unless there's somebody that you really, really like and say, no, I don't think this guy would be a project in the second round. You know, if Patrick Paul's there or something like that, then it wouldn't be more of a project. In that scenario of sort of weighing those options of the way that Brett Veach presented it, what's a better package to you, the lesser tackle in the second round and the better wide receiver, or sort of a lesser version of both, but, you know, maybe the overall numbers 1 through 10 sort of add up to a higher degree? If that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, I get it. I think the best case scenario for this team is that there is a tackle that they feel comfortable with taking in a, what we'll call it, a small trade up that doesn't require pick 64. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably like the ideal scenario for them. They're able to move up slightly. So one of those top tackles falls to them. I think it's just a matter of how you view this tackle class.
Right.
Like I'm not enamored with Tyler Guyton. I like the idea of Kingsley Suamataia, but there's a lot of risk to him. He's one of the youngest players in this class, but he's got some work to do, right?
Yes.
Patrick Paul, I think, makes some sense, but I think he makes sense a little bit farther back in our scenario. We did a mock draft scenario. We traded back and took him. So,
oh, nice.
I think the best case scenario for them is that they are in a decent position where they don't have to mortgage the future to get a capable tackle that can play year one and allow them to dip into that pool of receivers in round two. I do agree with that strategy philosophy. That is the best scenario for them. I do feel like they might have to pigeonhole themselves a little bit to make that kind of plan happen, but it's probably the best path for them as far as like being able to get somebody that can contribute at tackle well enough while still be able to being able to take advantage of receiver. And so, like, if they I think my theory is they're going to use three, or they're going to make two picks in the top 100.
Oh wow.
So okay. I think they'll either use 95 to move up in the first round small to get a receiver or get a tackle. Or I think, you know, they'll sit at tackle and take Kingsley to Amataya, and then they're going to draft, they're going to use, you know, 64 and 95 to move up and go get a receiver. Like, if you told me it's, you know, Kingsley, Sue Mataya, and Jalen Polk in a small trade up in round two, I'm going to understand that. And don't get me wrong, like, I have a, you know, I love Ladd McConkey, but there's a lot of scenarios I'd be pleased with.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Jalen Polk. Two things I wanted to bring up with Jalen Polk in a connection with having you on in the KC Sports Network draft guide, which is a fantastic resource. If you haven't got it, well, that's your loss. I've done in the last few years the looking at all pro receivers, and if there's some sort of a correlation with what they did in college. There are different types and speed and length and things like that, that there's not really a rhyme or reason of, well, you have to be at least this or at least that to be an all-pro wide receiver. There's shorter guys, there's taller guys, there's faster guys, there's better route runners, there's this, there's that. But, you know, six things in college and different, you know, markers that they had to meet to do that. And last year, there were five receivers that met all of those markers in the top 20. I took the top 20 consensus players and then looked at their college. The five players last year that met that mark were Jordan Addison, Josh Downs, A.T. Perry, Tank Dell, and Rashee Rice. And obviously, they weren't all first-round draft picks. Zay Flowers, JSN, Quentin Johnston didn't meet that. Jalen Hyatt, etc. This year, there are six receivers: Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze. And the other three are, and it doesn't mean that they're going to be that. It's just this is what sort of the profile has been for guys that have turned into be all-pro receivers: Malachi Corley, Troy Franklin, and Jalen Polk. All three of those guys may be, you know, generic in the NFL. But you mentioned Jalen Polk, and Jalen Polk pops up there, and he's also one of your guys in the draft guide. Not necessarily meaning, hey, take him in the first round. He's my guy. You got to do whatever you got to do to get him. You guys have him graded as a second rounder. What is it about Jalen Polk that's a your guy that you like for how he fits with the Chiefs?
So, yeah, he's one of my favorite players in this class. And when it's kind of funny because I was, you know, this whole process starts before the Super Bowl even happens, right?
Right, right.
So, like, we're digging in April when we're writing this 300-page book that we do every year. And I, as was all of us in Kansas City, like, I feel like we all know receiver was a problem, but I think we've forgotten a little bit of the frustration that we experienced during the season because the Chiefs wound up winning the Super Bowl anyway, right? And so, you know, watching this wide receiver group struggle with, you know, being consistent and reliable, working back to the quarterback, running good routes, you know, presenting a good target to the quarterback. Those kind of things have been lost on us because the Chiefs wound up winning the Super Bowl. It didn't wind up coming back to bite them. And when I talk about guys like Ladd McConkey and I talk about Jalen Polk, those guys are different players and different stylistic players, but I think they both do a fantastic job of giving the quarterback a clear, concise target to throw to. They're really good and they're precise with their routes. They're consistently working back to the football. And then with Polk, it's like, you know, he's got some ability to win at the catch point. He's got a big catch radius. He does the dirty work as a blocker. He's not the most dynamic guy. He's not someone that's going to be a huge asset after the catch, but I like his ability to just be a consistent, reliable target. He was very well coached at Washington. And if you're talking about a guy that I think Patrick Mahomes could make better, that's the kind of guy I'm looking at. Him and McConkey, both similar in how I view them for what they could give the offense, even though they'll be doing it differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I should throw in there was another receiver that hit five of the six categories. Two other receivers that hit five of the six categories, but didn't get all six, but five of the six. It was Xavier Worthy and Malik Washington from Virginia, and I know Malik Washington is another one of your guys that would be like a fourth rounder. So I thought that was interesting. A couple of players there that, you know, showed up that aren't first rounders or expected to be first rounders, and Malik Washington, a day two or early, you know, early day three if he gets to day day three, but certainly a day two type of guy that, you know, if they were to have three selections and somehow they don't go wide receiver in the first or second round. If your consolation prize is, you know, pick number 92 is Malik Washington, you know, I'm not driving to One Arrowhead Drive to pick it, you know, outside the doors of Brett Veach.
And I think what's, you know, we're talking about all these players. And there's so many good players, right? Yeah. There's so many. And there, but we're talking about so many different guys that are different, too, at the same time. And I think that's what's so interesting is we have all these visions of what we think, you know, we want the Chiefs to include into their offense and these different styles of players. But the what the Chiefs do in the draft is going to tell us what they really want, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's always something quite interesting, too, about all this is, like, we're slowly learning and trying to figure out, like, okay, what kind of player does this team really want to introduce into their wide receiver room? Like, we feel good that they're going to be able to, you know, make any of them work. But what they ultimately, like, stylistically decide on is that, oh, we need vertical stretch. Oh, we need a chain mover. We need a guy that can work in the middle of the field. We're going to find out those answers, and I think that's also kind of interesting, too.
All right, last one for you, Kent. You spent so much of your time today with us, and I know you've got a lot to do. What happens tonight? They pick before or after or at 32, and who do they take? Not necessarily your preference, but who? What's your prediction of who they take?
It's a great question, and like I keep going back and forth.
I know it's. I have to.
I think Brett Veach is going to try. I think he's gonna. I liked the Amarius Mims idea the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That we saw presented. I kind of have a feeling that the Chiefs are going to get shut out trying to trade up. So I think they're going to draft. If I'm guessing tonight, I'm going to guess Kingsley Suamataia is the 32nd pick in this draft. He's a really fascinating kid as a really young prospect. He's played right tackle. He's played left tackle. That's something this team probably is going to value a little bit, especially early on here in the process. I don't know if that precludes you from, you know, signing Donovan Smith still, but I think it's Kingsley Suamataia at pick 32, they stick and pick. I do think that they try to move up and they ultimately aren't able to. So they just decide to, hey, let's get a tackle now and let's go be aggressive to grab a receiver on day two of the draft.
Interesting. Kent Swanson, KC Sports Network, KCSN.substack.com, the KC Laboratory Podcast. All right, Kent, get some rest. And get ready for later on today and tonight. Appreciate the time as always, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to play NFL music the rest of the day.
We are going to do that, man. Let's all do it together. There is Kent Swanson. He's the man. He only has two more trips to Costco today before he really starts honing in and getting ready for the draft coming up tonight. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Continue rolling. More Zone right after this. Draft day, baby. NFL draft is here. You can hear it. All the coverage right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, a little NFL draft special. Sorin Petro, Curtis Siebold, Mark Bullrichter coming up tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Let's be honest, starting at 2 o'clock for them and continuing now until starting at 6 o'clock this morning. Sprinkled in some baseball segments, I think one or two maybe total for the Border Patrol and one for us. And simply some football along the way the rest of the day. Until we get to the draft tonight. And then, of course, all conversations tomorrow about the NFL draft and whatever happens tonight. It is presented right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB by Hollywood Casino, Greenlight Dispensary, and Twin Peaks. Sterling Holmes, it's your birthday, so now you're celebrating somewhere for your birthday. Happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday.
You were with us in the first hour here in studio. But we decided, one, we didn't want to be around you on your birthday. That seems mean, but it's fair. Tough, but fair. And instead, we had you go celebrate somewhere. Where are you at?
I'm at a Hollywood Casino up here at Kansas Speedway, and it's electric. I'm watching baseball right now. I'm going to place some bets. I don't know what bets I'm going to place yet, but I'm going to place many a bet. If you think I'm not hitting the blackjack table, you are out of your gourd. And I wouldn't mind some advice on black or red. Let me know, black or red.
I'm gonna have to ask
I think
your
of my birthday.
Member.
I need a $30 for my 30th birthday. We're gonna put it on black or red. I feel like that's a smart decision. There's no possible way it goes wrong.
I feel like you should ask your family member in the story we got on Monday of which black or red to play.
Oh yeah, come on, red.
Come on,
yeah,
red.
Come on, old Uncle Greg. I'm going red today.
And the Chiefs are red.
And the Chiefs are red. I mean, all signs point red, but no, Hollywood Casino, we're back here at the sports book, and it is just phenomenal. It's a wall of TVs. There is a bar right here, which for sports or leisure, I think old boy is going to be hitting up. So get excited, right, Jason, for the 1 o'clock hour.
I'm always excited for the 1 o'clock hour because that's 1 hour away from hearing Seren.
We sent Sterling to a place that he would love on his birthday. It has gambling and bourbon.
What more can we do? It's a blackjack table. It's a wall of TVs. He can bet on games. He's got bourbon right there at his fingertips. And he gets to talk some sports.
Exactly.
I mean, that sounds like how many guys out there would that be a great middle-of-the-day birthday? That, you know what, for your birthday, how about this? At 11 o'clock until 2, and maybe later, you can stay however late you want. I don't care. Turns out it's open even in the middle of the night if you want to do that. Good for you. But we're going to send you somewhere to where you can gamble. You can play some blackjack. You can bet on some games. You got a wall of TV. There's food there. Wall of TVs. There's food there. And you got some bourbon, some drinks right there at the bar. That sounds like a terrible birthday.
Yeah, it's I drive here, and I will be Ubering home unless Dylan wants to pick a guy up. Dylan, what do you think, pal?
The birthday present stops at sending you there. Now the rest of the people in your life are they're going to be the ones that bring you back.
I feel like you got a fiance that may be able to help out there. I don't know. Maybe she's got something planned for the birthday.
She gets off work at 5, right? So
she was telling me there's going to be a limo that shows up. Oh wait, I'm not supposed to.
Yeah, it's not going to be a limo for me. Someone else is going to have a limo here, Dylan, and I'm just going to hop in. Okay. That's how I'm going to try. No, this is for me. Sir, this is not for you, clearly. I'm still going to try and force my way in.
And also, Sterling, I do apologize. We do have something going on tomorrow night, so I can't be at your surprise birthday party tomorrow night. So when I'm not there, wait. Oh, crap. Did I just give it away? Oh, that's embarrassing. I mean, I was trying to be nice to let you know beforehand I won't be there. So if you don't see me, it's not that I'm trying to skip it. But I guess that surprise thing escaped me. Well, sorry about that. But you know what? Act surprised. Nobody will know the difference, okay?
I will have already forgotten this conversation the second this segment ends. So we'll be good.
Have you ever had a surprise birthday party in your life?
Yes, I have. Yeah, it's been good. I've had a couple. I had one for probably 4 years ago. Fiance set it up in the backyard of our house, and it was nice. Had a little party back there, a lot of fun. I actually was very surprised on that one. Then this past weekend, slight surprise. I knew we were doing something, didn't know what, and that was the whole laser tag.
Yeah.
And that was absolutely electric. I'm telling you what. Laser tag in your late 20s, early 30s is way more entertaining. The amount of rolling you'll do, the amount your legs will hurt the following day, it's phenomenal. It's the best workout I've done in at least 10 years.
Speaking of rolling, Greenlight Dispensary also sponsoring our NFL draft coverage here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, along with Twin Peaks and Hollywood Casino, where you are there, Sterling. Any surprise birthday parties for you, Dylan, in your life?
I think one.
One? Okay.
One all time, and it was very early, and that was it.
Okay, so it was early in your life. They had a surprise birthday party
at 8.
Actually,
my parents had people park.
Surprise, we were going to do something for your birthday at 8.
Yeah, they actually, honestly, had my friends park at my buddy's house across the street.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, they were all at my buddy's house, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're just hanging out here tonight. You know, I'm just going to hang out here. So they really played it up. So my parents were pretty ruthless with that kind of stuff. They, one time for Christmas, I wanted a TV, so they got the TV I wanted, but took it out of the box and put a couple of weights in it and like a Matchbox car and other stuff. So when I opened it, it's not the TV, I opened the box and it's just like a couple small items with a couple like 15-pound dumbbells in it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the humor that they have.
And you ended up being the dumbbell thinking that you didn't have a TV.
There you go. Well played.
We typically give our kids, you know, the coupon book that you give to, we give our kids coupons for food. So,
Jason, they're actually called stoupons.
Stoupons, that's fine. Stoupons for food. So, would you like to eat today? Okay, use one of your coupons. Turns out, don't take that for granted anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So, we're just teaching them a lesson. It's just life lessons, all it is. I've been on a couple of ends of the spectrum. I've gone the loser route and did absolutely nothing and sat by myself for a birthday when I turned 24. and the surprise birthday party when I turned 40, which I suspected a surprise birthday party was happening, because what typically happens in your life when a birthday's coming up? Don't people typically ask you, what do you want to do for your birthday? Right? It's like, oh, what do you want to do? What are you thinking? You know, not necessarily, you know, it's like, what doesn't mean we have to do it. But typically they'll ask, like, well, what do you think? Any plans? Or other people might reach out and like, hey, you guys going out for your birthday or anything? Other family members will do that, right? Something along those lines. Leading up to my 40th birthday, radio silent. Nobody reaching out. Nobody like, oh, you know, family members are like, hey, what are you, Kayla? Is Kaylin planning anything? What are you guys doing? Wife never asks, hey, what do you want to do for your birthday? Nothing like that. The only person that threw me off the scent was my mom, that was like, hey, we're trying to figure out what you guys are doing this weekend for your birthday. So, and that was the only time I'm like, oh, well, maybe it isn't a surprise birthday party. Because my mom's actually...
Maybe just nobody
cared. Yeah, maybe nobody just cared. Nobody cared. That was the only person that threw me off the scent, was my mom actually thinking and going, well, we should ask him what he wants to do. Because if nobody reaches out and was like, hey, what do you want to do for your 40th? Then something's clearly up. Just saying, for planning a surprise party in the future, if you're doing that, make sure you have everybody reach out to be like, hey, what do you end up doing? Not at the same time. That would seem planned. But just at different times, what do you guys end up doing? You know, oh, yeah, cool. We'll meet you there. And then figure out, you know, how to dump the water when they walk through the door another way. So
I have ripped 3 shots during this segment already. I'm feeling good, boys.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. My 24th birthday, when I sat by myself at night, was because the Royals traded Carlos Beltran that night. So I sat next to the radio, and I listened to Seren and Nate Bucati break down the Carlos Beltran trade. They had Allard Baird on.
You weren't alone.
You know what I hung out with at that time? My really good friends.
There you go.
My really good friends at that time. They didn't know.
They didn't know it. Yeah.
I was interning, so they knew me a little bit. But
you hold
up
3 fingers and say the gang's all here.
That's exactly right, yes. But one of my favorite all-time Royals was traded on my 24th birthday, June 24th, 2004. So when anybody goes, when was Beltran traded? June 24th, 2004. I know when Beltran was traded, okay? June 24th, 2004. And I sat there in my room listening to the radio and then trying to figure out, like, oh, yeah, Moneyball, Mark Tian. We're going through all these different things, man. I'm a loser. It's okay.
But you're our loser.
That's
Jason.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sterling Holmes is also our birthday boy today. He is at Hollywood Casino. Make sure you stop by there and go check out a lot of different things for your spring action. Playoff NBA hoops going on, playoff hockey going on, baseball going on, the NFL draft tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. You know, we stay up late tonight, we stay up late Friday, and then boom, Saturday, let's roll. It's go time. We got draft all day long, man. So you can do that at Hollywood Casino, and you can rock some shots like apparently Sterling is doing, or not. I'm not sure. I'm not there to call him on that. Plus, it's his birthday, so he can cry if he wants to. You know, it's his day. It's your day, buddy. What did you think of we talked with Kent Swanson, and he said, in a heartbeat, he would make that trade for Olu Fashanu. That makes it 3-1. You're the only one that says no.
Just groupthink, baby.
That's exactly what it is.
You guys are just set in your ways. It's big media telling you what to think, and I'm just I'm the outlier, baby.
By the way, okay? Big media, I love that. Did you see Deion Sanders and his tweet and then somebody's response to his tweet? So Deion,
no, I have not.
Deion Sanders was like, sick and tired of all the mainstream media that's acting like Michael Penix isn't that good of a quarterback, or he's not the best quarterback in this draft. He's got this, 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 and this, and this, and people are ignoring him. And somebody replied and goes, you mean the same mainstream media that keeps pumping up your team that only won one conference game?
Bro. Dude. It's awesome.
Woo, that was quite the receipt to quickly throw back at him. I'm sick and tired of all this media doing all this and doing all that.
Same hey, that Jason, love your team. Do you believe now? Do you believe now?
I do. I do believe.
Okay.
I do believe that Michael Penix is a damn fine quarterback. I do believe that. And I do believe if Olu Fashanu is there at pick number 16 and that trade is available, and I'm with Kent Swanson, and this is where, you know, Sterling, it may ultimately end up being what you would have chosen as no, because while the simulator accepted that trade that we gave up to move up to 16, I also agree with Kent that I think it would be more expensive than that to move up to 16. And if it starts to get too rich, then yeah, I'm totally okay with holding your water and staying there. And the scenario that that Kent presented, which was staying put at 32, drafting Kingsley Suamataia, and then using that third rounder from with L'Jarius Sneed and pick number 64 to go and make an aggressive move to get a wide receiver there in the second round that may not or should not have been there at like pick 45 or something like that. I'm totally okay if that's what they do. I'm okay if they trade back, which allows them maybe to get Kingsley or Tyler Guyton, as you talked about, or you know, Paul from Houston or something along those lines, and then allowing them to be more aggressive with a wide receiver in the second round. I just feel like if you can get a 7 out of 10 wide receiver in the first round, but at 64 you get like a 3 out of 10 offensive tackle, well, then it's adding up to 10 total points. Whereas maybe you get like a 5 offensive tackle, and so it's better, and you get like a 6 wide receiver, so it's not as good, but it's still 11, right? It can go to 11 out of 10.
At least.
So I do think that might be the scenario I would go with, is if tackles are going to drop off, as Brett Veach at least said last Friday, that after 35 or 40, it's pretty tough picking there with the tackle. You're really getting some projects after 35 or 40.
Sure, but that's not 32, or that's not a slight
Agreed.
Trade up at 27. I
agree.
You're over here dealing in Bitcoin, baby. You're trying for the bust. I'm here in gold. I'm sticking at 32. I will take my slight appreciation. Okay, that's how I'm viewing this.
But that's what I sort of mean with taking like instead of a grade 3 out of 10 tackle at number 64, taking a 5 out of 10 tackle at pick number 32, and then taking maybe a slightly worse receiver than you would have taken in the first round, but those two adding up to be a combined better package, better players overall than what you would get if you went better wide receiver and then the tackles were simply gone in the late second round.
Sure, but it all depends on where you land on Wanya Morris. If I'm higher on Wanya Morris,
sure.
I don't think that tackle is going to be quite as big of a deal. I've also said I'm content if Donovan Smith gets re-signed. I don't think any rookie tackle of the Chiefs draft is going to make this immediate impact this season. Will he be better than Wanya Morris? Maybe, but again, I've tried to perpetuate this, I think, true narrative that it takes a year, at least for tackles, even great tackles, to really step into their own role. So you're almost still looking for a tackle to fill that role this year, but you're stuck because you spent pick 16 and you traded up for a guy. So now he has to play game one, week one. And in that instance, I don't know if that makes your team better this year. It does for the future, don't get me wrong, but for this year, I don't know.
Sterling Holmes is hanging out at Hollywood Casino, where you can hang out as well with the NFL draft coming up tonight. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up this hour. Coming up at noon, we're going to go through our top three draft picks for the Chiefs since Patrick Mahomes. We continue to roll along on this draft day edition of The Zone at Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, 2 more hours to go here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with The Zone. As we continue talking about the NFL draft coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, when the Chicago Bears will be on the clock. And the Chiefs, maybe 31 picks after that. Maybe less. We'll just have to see if there is that run on offensive tackles, and maybe the Chiefs want to get up there and grab somebody. Or there starts to be a run on wide receivers. Maybe the Chiefs want to get up there and grab somebody. Or wide receivers and tackles are gone, and maybe they end up going like cornerback or defensive line or something like that. That's not what a lot of people are expecting, certainly being an offensive tackle or wide receiver. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Sterling's hanging out at Hollywood Casinos at the Kansas Speedway. We'll talk about the best draft picks since Patrick Mahomes next.